I'm Tom Wilmer, reporting from Tennessee. Join us as we visit with Jonathan Ball. He's the Vice President of Operations for the Rocky Top Wine Trail. How cool is this? This is kind of a new incarnation, isn't it?
It is. Yes, it is. Yeah, the Wine Trail started a few years back, but the current incarnation of it with all the locations that are present is pretty new, just with a few new additions.
And how long and what's the length and breadth of the Wine Trail? Where does it start? Where does it end? Where does it take you to?
Well, we're in Gatlinburg, Tennessee right now, and it blends through three cities. They're all here in the Smoky Mountains. It begins in Sevierville, Tennessee, with Hillside Winery, and then flows into Pigeon Forge. There's a winery there named Mountain Valley, and then comes on up the hill all the way up into Gatlinburg. So just those three cities.
Well, let's go back in time. Wine as wine production in the region. How far back in history does it go?
Oh, a really long time. The most recent winery to open after Prohibition was in 1986 here in Gatlinburg, Smoky Mountain Winery. Before that, their history goes back to the pioneering days, whenever people would take, grapes didn't grow in the area, but you know what did, blackberries, blueberries, muscadines, and they would take those and make them into home wines and consume them, back on the pioneering home.
Does that lexicon remain a part of the mix of what you would find here, the type of wines?
Oh, absolutely, yeah. We're not like California or some of the other places where you're going to find vinifera grapes like Cabernet, Merlot. You will find some of those, but the majority of the wines made here are fruit wines, blackberry, peaches even. We used 60,000 pounds of peaches on the Rocky Top Wine Trail last year to make 100% Tennessee peach wine, for example.
What's cool about that? It's refreshing distinctiveness that is symbolic of the region and its history today.
Oh, certainly, yeah. I mean, just as much as moonshine is a part of the area, so is fruit winemaking, because you're not going to find that anywhere else.
But even your grapes, you were talking about muscadine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, muscadine's a really unique grape for those that aren't familiar with it. Most grapes you see in the grocery store, they grow on clusters. Well, muscadines grow on their own individual stems, almost like apples, and they're really big, thick-skinned grapes. They only grow in the southeastern region of the U.S., up south of Kentucky, and Tennessee is prime real estate for growing muscadines. I think there's about 10 different vineyards that grow nearly 600,000 pounds a year.
Interesting. Let's do an overview of the members of the Wine Trail and what their distinctive characteristics and what they offer.
Sure, sure. Well, we'll start in reverse order since we're here at Sugarland Cellars Winery in Gatlinburg. They focus on the Alpine-style wines. We call it Alpine because, we grow the grapes up in the mountains. But they have a lot of fruit wines, like we've discussed, some cherry wine, peach wine, blueberry Concord. But we also have some grapes that were grown in the state recently, Pinot Noir, and some others as well. Then if you're traveling back into Pigeon Forge, you have Millbridge Winery, the newest addition to the Wine Trail, and they have hard cider as well. So they make a blueberry wine, they make a really delicious Concord wine, and then what they'll do is they take the hard cider, which is basically just a low alcohol content wine, and then they blend that in with different varieties of wine to get a new and fresh product.
You grow apples here. Is anybody doing the real hard apple cider?
Yes, yes they are. The Millbridge Winery does, but there's also another winery not currently on the trail called Wiley Cider, and I believe they use local apples to make theirs as well. A lot of people that are familiar with the area will know of the Apple Barn complex. They have apple fritters, apple julep. They're really famous for all of that. They grow a lot of apples as well, and they also have a winery that's on the Wine Trail too. Their focus is apple-based products.
Tell us about a couple of the others.
Sure. The last two that we missed, Mountain Valley Winery is in Pigeon Forge, and they do French and German style wines and some really unique ones as well. They just came out with a cherry honey lavender wine that uses local Tennessee honey in it. Following that, there's also Hillside Winery, and they're really famous for their black and blue wine. It's blackberries and blueberries. Tart and sweet at the same time, so even dry wine drinkers tend to like it.
As we both know, this region has a palate for sweet wines. But it very much has its place and its love, and it's a passionate love here.
It's interesting because that's a challenge Tennessee's faced for a long time, because when people that are traditional wine drinkers think of sweet wine, they think of the really, really sweet fruit.
Syrupy, yeah.
Yes, I mean, just the syrupy stuff that you can't really stand, and that's not what we make in East Tennessee, because we make fruit wine. It's very different.
Talk deeper on that subject, because that's really important for people to understand that there is, like you just said, that kind of tart and sweet at the same time.
Well, if you want to think of it as terroir, which is a lot of wine consumers think about, and that's sort of where the soil, the grapes that come from, you know, this area is known for growing excellent quality fruit, so why don't we make excellent quality wine? So it's not the wine cooler, it's not the syrupy sweet mix. It's something that the winemakers have taken and put their heart and soul into and made a really good product. And it is sweet, but there are some examples that are a little less sweet, too, that some people will find enjoyable.
Talk to us about pairing your wines with food. What does it go best with?
Well, you know, that's a lot of fun because a lot of people think pairing wine, it's really simple. It's red wine with red meat and white wine with fish. Well, that does work, but with fruit wines, it's different. So what you find is your taste buds cancel out flavors. So if you take a sweet wine with a sweet type of dessert, it actually makes the wine taste drier and more fruit-forward and tart because the sugars balance each other out. So I always find it interesting to take our wines and pair them with either a sweet mixture, something like a cake or something like that, or even like a maple glazed pork loin or something like that too, and it really balances out the flavors.
Interesting. Talk a little bit more about your wines and the breadth and what you do.
Between the wine trail and all the properties, there's probably about 85 unique products offered. We consume, between all of the wineries, about 85% of the Tennessee-grown grapes in-state for wine production. So I think last year we brought in just at 1 million pounds of fruit. And one other thing that's on the trail that's kind of new, as you know, moonshine is really big now in this area. We added Doc Collier Distillery to the wine trail. And a lot of wine people are confused by that. Why did you do it? Well, they're the only distillery in Tennessee that we know of, and definitely this area, that takes Tennessee wine. They buy it from our winery members, and they distill it into moonshine brandy. So they have a peach distilled brandy that's made from 100% Tennessee peach wine. They also make a blueberry and a muscadine as well.
It's kind of interesting. It's like whiskey, for example, starts out as beer.
Yes.
Literally. And here you have wine starting out as wine and going somewhere else.
And turning into brandy, yeah. And it's really unique. And, you know, the first time they came up with this idea, we raised our eyebrows and said, you're crazy, it won't work. But fortunately, it's been really popular. And most of the time, distillation takes out all the flavors. It's almost like a vodka, you know, there's no flavor to it whatsoever.
Yeah. So how do you avoid
that? Well, it's interesting. In this case, when we put the wine in, there's a little trick to it, and so I'm going to tell everybody this, and it's a little bit of a secret recipe, but usually with a still, you have the water that the distillation goes through that kind of purifies it. We add wine in there instead, so the distillation goes back through the wine, picks up a little bit of the flavors and the aromas, and then has it in the finished product.
Back to your wines themselves. Yes. In the processing, I see a whole bunch of stainless steel tanks. Tell us about that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stainless steel tanks and a few barrels you'll see behind us, too. The process is really simple. The grapes come in harvest bins. At this location in Gatlinburg, as you can tell, it's really small, and you know how the city works. It's kind of hard to do processing equipment. So Hillside Winery, also on the wine trail in Sevierville, processes the fruit for us and then sends us the juice to have it fermented. But these tanks are rather large. Most of them will hold about 2,000 gallons apiece, and right now they're all pretty full. We're about to do a little bottling, so...
And then your barrel, talk to us about your barrel aging.
We do a little bit of barrel aging. We have French oak and Hungarian and American oak, so we use three varieties.
And you balance with new and used?
We do, for certain, and both for cost purposes and because we like the flavor components, because with brand new oak, it takes very little time to impart those flavors and aromas. So, yeah, it depends on how long we want to let it sit. But these barrels have been with us since we opened in 2010.
So some of them you might even go neutral, more of a long-term aging.
Absolutely, yes, yeah, because once they've been used so long, it's something where it's just a slight adjustment to the wine once you do that. And we do that actually with some sweet wines even. Most people don't think about it, but we do a spiced cherry dessert wine here that we oak age for about 6 months in French oak, and so it creates that really nice toasted aroma, but then it has all the flavors of the cherry and the spices. It's really good.
What fun. And you spent a year or so as a winemaker, so you know what you're talking about.
Well, I don't know if I know what I'm talking about. But
yeah. Oh, good baseline.
That's a good starting point. But, yeah, the owner was really great when he hired me on. He said, JB, if you're coming in to work with the group, I want you to learn from the ground up. So he threw me in there in the middle of the biggest harvest season we ever had. It was 1.7 million pounds of grapes and worked a few hours but learned a whole lot.
So you were from the fields right in the back door and the whole process.
Yes, you could say that. And I'm nowhere near the extent of knowledge that our winemaking team is. We have a master winemaker who helps oversee the whole production for everyone. But each location has their own winemaker that makes the wine unique at every property.
So wine and wine drinking and hard cider and whatnot, that very much is a part of the local culture and the local travel experience, right?
Yeah, I mean, just as much as anything else, just as much as biscuits and gravy. I mean, it's something that when people would come and visit the area, what do you get? Well, a lot of people still make wine at home. They don't talk about it, and it's legal. You can make 200 gallons, you know, if anyone's interested, at your home for home consumption. But, yeah, it's just about as part of the hospitality as the beans and cornbread event that's going on here in Gatlinburg today.
Probably wait to hit that one.
Oh, it's delicious. I go to that and the chili cook-off every year.
Well, tell us some more. Right now, in the history of Gatlinburg, it's been a tough time because not too many months ago, there was a pretty wildfire that burned down some buildings.
Yes, yeah, and that was a really turbulent time for us. You know, we helped work with two of the locations of Gatlinburg, this location and Doc Collier Distillery. And between those two properties, they had 7 employees lose their homes. Fortunately, no one was injured and everyone's safe. And the work that the local community's done and what Dolly has done has been phenomenal. But, you know, what's most interesting to me is seeing the beauty of the mountains come back. This is my home. I'm from here, and my ancestors are actually from the National Park in Greenbrier. And to see the colors come back and the beauty, I mean, you can almost, it's almost like you can't even tell the fire was here. I mean, if you didn't know it happened, you wouldn't have a clue.
I had to look closely. You know, you'd see so much green, the green grass and the new foliage. And then you'd see something charcoal at the bark or whatever. But if you didn't look closely, you might not even know.
Exactly, you know, and you know, it didn't touch downtown or many of the other areas that people believe. And, you know, you hate to say something good can come out of something as tragic as that, but you know what? This community's always been really big on hospitality and friendship and working together, but I've never seen it come together as much as it has now. So it's probably the best time to visit because everyone's in good spirits and just ready to, you know, hit the road running.
That's really cool. There's more to wine and wine growers and wine production than just in this little area of East Tennessee. It's pretty much across the state.
It's a statewide thing, you know, and East Tennessee is the highest concentration for sure. And our wine trail is just one example of about 5 throughout the entire state that interlace. And so what's really neat, Tennessee's a really long horizontal state, and we're working as a team with all the wineries to combine all the wine trails so that it's a statewide wine trail. And there's 3 or 4 in West Tennessee, and, you know, with the production out there that they have, it's incredible because, the you know, for anyone that's been to East Tennessee and West Tennessee, West Tennessee's flat. It's really good for farming. It's great for grapes. And so they have a lot of the really traditional vinifera style Cabernets, Merlots, Sauvignon Blancs. And then Middle Tennessee is a little bit in between. You have Beach Haven Winery in Clarksville, Tennessee. They're one of the oldest, and I like to refer to them as Chateau Tennessee because I'd say they're one of the nicest wineries in the state. And then coming even further, you've got another one in Baxter, Tennessee called Delmonico Winery, and they've built their place to look like an Italian Vienna style. I mean, it's just gorgeous place, and grapes throughout the whole state as well.
That's really cool. Before we go, let's talk about Friends of the Smokies right here.
Yeah, Friends of the Smokies, we were talking about charity organizations, and they're one of the best in the area for this, what they do. We partner with them because we make a few particular wines for them each season. We make a Dance of the Firefly that comes out in June, and we raise $5 per bottle sold. It's $5,000 total, and it's to celebrate the synchronizing of the fireflies that happens in the Great Smoky Mountains National Park. But what's so exciting about Friends is they have a lot of different programs, but one is the Trails Forever program. So for a few of those trails that were injured or damaged in the fires, Friends of the Smokies is going to have a lot to do with rebuilding that. And it's not just them. The Smoky Mountains National Park, the Great Smoky Mountains Association, there's a lot of people coming together. But in particular, we work closely with Friends, and they're a great organization.
What a great partnership.
Yeah, for sure.
A win-win.
Yeah, a win-win for everybody. And it's great for us because we get to do something fun. The only other thing I could think of that would be great to cover, Gatlinburg has one of the best wine festivals in Tennessee. It's held usually the second Saturday in April. And so, you know, it'd be good for your listeners to know that because the best time to find as much wine as you can to sort of get a good sampling, come to a wine festival.
It sounds like a good travel time, too, because the kids aren't out of school yet. It'd be less crazy time to come here.
Exactly. Find a babysitter. Let them take care of the kids. Come up, enjoy the wine. And, you know, most of the time we have about 20 wineries there. So between them all, there's just a variety of opportunity to try what the state has to offer. And it's located in Gatlinburg at the Aramont School of Arts and Crafts. And a great place. They do a lot of really interesting things there. Teach classes on how to build numerous different types of arts and crafts and various projects.
Do you have a one-stop shopping for further information, website?
Or? Yeah, absolutely. If you want to know more about the Rocky Top Wine Trail, visit www.rockytopwinetrail.com. Really easy. And for all the wineries in the state, just visit tennesseewines.com. and that'll give you information on anywhere you'd want to go in Tennessee.
And Friends of the Smokies?
Friends of the Smokies, just as easy. It's friendsofthesmokies.org, I believe. And if not, you can just Google or Bing search them, I'm sure. But yeah, check them out. They have some great information.
And the wine festival?
The wine festival. Go to wgatlinburg.com. But your best bet is actually to check out Gatlinburg on Facebook, because they'll show live videos and check things out. Plus, it'll always let you know if anything changes on the dates for the festival as well.
Perfect. Jonathan Ball, what a pleasure to meet you. This has been fun.
I enjoyed it, Tom. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. We've been visiting with Jonathan Ball, Vice President of Operations, Rocky Top Wine Trail, Smoky Mountains, Tennessee. I'm Tom Wilmer. We'll see you here.
You've been listening to the Lowell Thomas Award-winning travel show Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer, a featured podcast on NPR.org's podcast directory. Produced by California Central Coast NPR affiliate KCBX. You are invited to subscribe to Journeys of Discovery with Tom Wilmer on NPR.org, NPR One, iTunes, Stitcher.com, and more than 20 other podcast channels around the world. To learn more about Tom Wilmer's journeys around America and the world, log on to thomaswilmer.com.
The music under bed selection, Drive, is from the New Dance album by Herrick.
Sometimes I